Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question and answer session of today's call, you may press star one to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time, I'll turn the call over to Mr. Tom Skinner. You may begin, sir.
Thank you, Shirley. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you all for joining us for this telebriefing on today's report on the prevalence of autism spectrum disorders. With us today is the director of the CDC, Dr. Thomas Frieden, Dr. Colleen Boyle, director of CDC's National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities, Dr. Susan Hyman, chairperson of the Autism Subcommittee of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and Dr. Mark Rothmeyer, president of Autism Speaks. Dr. Frieden will begin with opening remarks, and then we'll move to the other speakers, all who will speak for about 3 minutes, and then we'll take your questions at the end. So I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Frieden.
Hello, and thank you very much for joining us. CDC has been tracking autism using the same method for more than a decade. Today, we're releasing estimates from 2008 from the Sentinel sites where our monitoring system operates. These data indicate that in these sites overall, 1 in 88 children had been identified with autism spectrum disorder by the age of 8. In recent years, we've learned more about autism than ever before, and we know now that autism is nearly 5 times more common among boys than among girls, with 1 in 54 boys identified compared with 1 in 252 girls. We also know that more children are being diagnosed at earlier ages, with a growing number by age 3. But still, most in this study were not diagnosed until after they reached age 4. The data show that doctors are getting better at diagnosing autism, and also that communities are getting better at providing services to the children and families who need them. One thing the data tell us with certainty is that there are many children and families who need help. We know more now about which children are more likely to have autism, we know at what age they're likely to be diagnosed, and we know whether progress has been made in diagnosing children with autism early. This information helps communities to plan for services and understand where improvements can be made to help serve children with autism. Many children are not receiving services early enough or not consistently enough to help them reach their full potential. People want answers to what's causing autism and to why we're seeing such an increase in identified cases, and so do we. On a national scale, CDC's work is helping to guide critical autism research across the country. The results of today's study highlight the importance of efforts throughout the administration to address the needs of people with autism spectrum disorder, including the work of the Interagency Autism Coordinating Committee, or IACC, of the Department of Health and Human Services. There are activities throughout the Department of Health and Human Services to provide support for states, to increase research through the National Institutes of Health, to support state efforts on advocacy and strengthening systems to care for children with autism, through the Medicaid and Medicare programs to provide support through the healthcare system, and through other parts of the federal government, including the Department of Education and Department of Labor. Autism is a complex condition, and there remain many unanswered questions. We're learning more every day, but still have a great deal to learn. CDC's work is helping to guide autism research around the country. This is critical information that our country needs because every child deserves to live and grow to their fullest potential. Tom?
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Frieden. Now we're going to hear from Dr. Colleen Boyle, and that's spelled C-O-L-E-E-N-B-O-Y-L-E, who is the director of CDC's National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities. Dr. Boyle.
Thank you. All of us at CDC are committed to this important work. We're committed to continuing to track autism. We're committed to the research to identify causes of autism and committed to identifying children with autism as early as possible. Today's estimates of 1 in 88 children identified with autism marks a 23% increase from our last report. We know that people want answers to what's causing this increase, and so do we. Some of the increase is due to the way children are identified, diagnosed, and served in their local communities, although exactly how much is due to these factors is not known. To understand more, we need to keep accelerating our research into risk factors and causes. The tracking CDC does gives us more than just a number. Tracking provides a more complete picture of autism, helping us to understand how communities identify children with autism. We see how the number and the characteristics of children with autism vary across the country. For example, the numbers vary from 1 in 210 children identified in Alabama to 1 in 47 children in Utah. Tracking also helps identify potential risk factors. Because of our tracking, we know more about how advanced parental age and premature birth contribute to a child's risk of having autism. Tracking guides our research and the research of other scientists across the country. At CDC, we are conducting the largest study in the United States to help identify factors that put children at risk for autism. We've completed the first phase of this study. Ultimately, we will be able to better understand what makes one child more likely to have autism than another. Our tracking also tells us that there are many children with autism who are not being diagnosed as early as they could be. We have also heard from many parents that they were concerned long before their child was diagnosed. We are working hard to change that. This is critical because there's a growing body of research that tells us that the earlier a child with autism is identified and connected to services, the more the child will benefit from intervention. CDC has tools to help families track their child's development. These tools are free and on our website, and we're working hard to put them in the hands of doctors, child care providers, and parents. Importantly, we've developed national goals that will help track progress in early screening, diagnosis, and enrollment and services for children with autism. The most important thing for parents to know is that it's critical to act quickly if there's a concern about their child's development. Don't wait. Talk to your child's doctor about your concerns. Call your local early intervention program or school system for a free assessment. And remember, you don't need a diagnosis to get services. It's never too late to get help for your child. Today we've shared that there are more children being identified with autism in communities across the country. All of us at CDC are committed to our important work in autism. We're committed to continuing to track autism, committed to the research to identify the causes of autism, and committed to identifying children with autism as early as possible. Autism and its impact on families is a critical area of focus for our two partners here with us today. We are proud to have worked with the American Academy of Pediatrics in a number of capacities, including their work in establishing recommendations for early screening, diagnosis, and referral. And I'm delighted that Dr. Susan Hyman, chairperson of the Autism Subcommittee of the AAP, could join us today. We appreciate the support of our partner, Autism Speaks, and applaud their leadership and advocacy for autism. And we are honored to have Mark Rothmeyer, president of Autism Speaks, with us.
Okay, we'll now hear from Dr. Susan Hyman, that's spelled H-A-Y-M-A-N, who is the chairperson of the Autism Subcommittee of the American Academy of Pediatrics. Dr. Hyman.
Thank you. Pediatricians understand how concerning the increased prevalence of autism reported today is. Parents want to know what causes autism, as does the American Academy of Pediatrics and all the pediatricians who care for children with autism every day. The CDC has documented a continuing increase in the prevalence of autism. The children studied for this report were 8 years old in 2008. While the age of diagnosis for these children was younger than previous reports, at over 4 years of age, it is not early enough. In fact, just over 20% of the children had not been diagnosed before this study. The AAP strongly believes in the importance of early and continuous screening and surveillance for autism to ensure that children are identified and referred for effective services as early as possible. The AAP recommends that all children be screened for autism at 18 and 24 months and encourage a 30-month screen. The sooner autism is identified, the sooner an intervention program can start. Our educational efforts to promote screening by pediatricians and referral for intervention is aided by the wonderful tools for parents like the Learn the Signs Act early materials developed by CDC. To meet the need for increasing numbers of diagnostic evaluations that these numbers suggest, federal programs will need to continue to support postgraduate training of developmental experts. It's also important to collect data on the prevalence of autism like this study does. Knowing how many children are affected enables communities to plan and allocate their resources so children can receive the therapies and services they need. And as these children with autism become adults with autism, appropriate services need to extend through the lifespan. Studies like this also help us target our limited research dollars. More and more researchers are dedicated to answering the questions about cause and treatment of autism than ever before. Information from the ADAM network informs and drives this continued research. There's an increase in the prevalence of autism in Black and Hispanic children in this data compared to previous studies. We have to examine this data to understand why that is. But what's important to note is that identifying children with autism early gives them the best chance of benefiting from therapies. All children need a medical home, a source of primary care that is available, accessible, and culturally competent. Efforts to provide developmental screening in the context of a medical home for traditionally underserved populations and for all children needs to be a priority area for the AAP and funders of health care. I would like to commend the CDC on this careful and extensive study. We will all need to work together to advocate for early screening and diagnosis, effective treatments, and the research that will help find the causes of autism as well as successful interventions.
Thank you, Dr. Hyman. Our last speaker, before we get to your question and answers, is Mr. Mark Rothmeyer, who is president of Autism Speaks. Mr. Rothmeyer.
Thank you. I want to thank the CDC and particularly Dr. Frieden for this invitation today, and I want to particularly note the comprehensive data collection report and the critical need for the data the CDC has been providing for more than a decade now. Merriam-Webster defines the word epidemic as excessively prevalent, affecting a disproportionately large number of individuals within a population, community, or region at the same time. With the new Center for Disease Control and Prevention numbers showing that 1 in 88 children in the United States are being diagnosed with autism, a nearly doubling of prevalence since the CDC began tracking this number, autism is now officially becoming an epidemic in the United States. We are dealing with a national emergency that is in need of a national plan. At 1 in 88, we now have over 1 million children directly affected by autism. According to a newly released study, the annual cost of autism in the United States is a staggering $126 billion a year, more than tripling the cost analysis from 6 years ago. Behind all these statistics are real families, real individuals struggling each and every day. Some with autism struggling to find satisfying jobs where they can productively use their talents and abilities. Others with autism have extremely complicated medical and social challenges. Make no mistake, though, wherever one falls on the spectrum, all with autism struggle each and every day. And it is clearly time we, as a caring society, commit to a national plan, a comprehensive plan that substantially increases all efforts to date, a call to action that funds more basic science uncovering the genetic underpinnings of autism, funds more environmental research detecting the causes of autism, accelerates the funding and development of effective medicines and treatments, commits to a strategy where all children from every background are diagnosed no later than 18 months of age, commits to a national training corps recruiting more therapists and service providers, as well as specially trained teachers and teacher assistants into the field. We also need to address, as has been pointed out, the growing issue of adults, as since the first study that the CDC has done, those children were born in 1992. They are now turning 20 this year. The needs of adults include continuing education, employment, housing and residential living, and community integration. And here, too, we need a national training corps to recruit and train professionals to work with our adults. As the nation's leading science and advocacy organization, Autism Speaks calls on the entire nation to commit to a national plan, a true public-private partnership, a coalition of the willing, if you will. From President Obama to each of the Republican candidates for president to all members of Congress, we desperately need deeper and broader funding. The CDC and Dr. Frieden, whose funding of this prevalence study is in jeopardy of being cut going forward, Secretary Sebelius and the Department of Health and Human Services, the critical delivery of services, Dr. Francis Collins and the National Institutes of Health for increased research, and the federal government cannot do this alone. We need the private sector as well as state and local governments to be part of this plan. Right now, insurance companies and the majority of self-funded plans under ERISA discriminate against families with autism, denying reimbursement for the basic evidence-based services that often dramatically improve the quality of life of children with autism. There are pharmaceutical companies who can speed the process of effective medicines for people living with autism to improve communication, socialization, and repetitive behavior, the core symptoms of autism. We need companies across all industries to commit to hiring the 74% of adults with autism who believe they have the potential to be employed if just given the chance. And we need employers of all parents who have children with autism to become much more family-friendly. Way too many mothers of children with autism have to stop out of their careers because their work environments cannot accommodate their schedules. We need local schools to deliver individualized and quality-driven plans to meet autism's ever-growing demand for appropriate special education services. We need faith-based and community-based organizations who can provide respite services for parents and caregivers, as well as recreational and community integration programs for people with autism. The list goes on. Siblings, grandparents, aunts, uncles, friends, and neighbors. At 1 in 188, 1 in 54 boys, we are now hard-pressed to find anyone in the nation who is touched by autism. Ultimately, collectively, in partnership, the question we ask ourselves is why, over the last two decades, has there been such a tremendous increase? Dr. Peter Bierman of Columbia University was funded by the NIH to answer this very question. His findings have revealed that the increase in prevalence is only partly explained by the broadening of the diagnosis, improved detection, and more awareness. A large portion of the increase, some 50%, remains unexplained. That is why we need aggressively to fund research, including the critical study of potential environmental factors. We need the answers. At 1 in 88, the United States is experiencing an autism epidemic. This is a national emergency in need of a national plan.
Shirley, I think we're ready for questions, please. We'll allow each reporter to ask a question and a follow-up, and then we'll move to the next question.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Please unmute your line and record your name clearly. To withdraw your request, you may press star 2. And one moment, please. And our first question comes from David Brown with Washington Post. You may ask your question.
Hi, thanks a lot. I'm wondering, is there any chance that this is not a real trend of increase in this, in the prevalence of this disease? Or put another way, is it possible that this steady trend over more than a decade is completely attributable to case finding, change in definition, greater increase of services and accessing of services, et cetera, as opposed to an actual increase in disease? Now, I know there's no definite answer to this, but I would like each of the speakers to tell me whether they think this represents an actual increase in the prevalence of this disease.
This is Dr. Frieden. As we know, doctors have gotten better at diagnosing the condition. Communities have gotten better at providing services. So at this point, I think there is the possibility that the increase in identification is entirely the result of better detection. We don't know whether or not that is the case, but it is a possibility. What we do know for certain is that autism is common and needs to be effectively served. So we need to continue to increase the number of kids who are detected early, and enrolled in services early.
This is Colleen Boyle, Dr. Colleen Boyle. I would just add to what Dr. Frieden said with some facts from the study, and that is over time, we know that children who come into our study are much more likely to have a community diagnosis. So Dr. Frieden's comment about the fact that doctors are getting better, that communities are getting better in identifying children, we do have clues from that within the data that we are reporting on today.
This is Dr. Susan Hyman. I would concur with Dr. Boyle that a great part of this data may be related to increasing identification. More and more of the children have higher cognitive abilities, but the reason that you do continuing scrutiny of an epidemiologic nature is to answer the very question you're asking, which is there something else and is there another cause?
As I said, I would also add to that one additional thought, and that is, we are engaged in research to really understand the causes for autism, and we are conducting the largest study in the United States to understand what puts children at risk, and then answers to that question will really help us understand more fully what's going on.
This is Mark Reuthmer, and in very much respect to Dr. Frieden, because I want to thank him for being the first head of the CDC to be here for the release of the autism statistics, as well as his personal interest in autism that he's shown. Only part of the increase is better diagnosis and broader diagnosis. There is a great unknown. Something is going on here that we don't know is going on. And the other point I will make is that at 1 in 88, and I know we all can agree on this, these individuals with autism, they're here, they're now, they have real issues. And those issues, the demand is outstripping the supply right now, and I think we can all agree on that.
Okay. Next question, Shirley.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mike Stobe with the Associated Press. You may ask your question.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. Two questions, actually. One was, I think you all talked about the age of diagnosis was around 4, and that was lower than it had been previously. Do you mind, what was it previously, like from the 2006 data? And the second question, Dr. Frieden had said that many children are not receiving services early enough or consistently enough to reach their full potential. I was wondering if you all had an idea of how many kids are in that boat or not getting the services they need early enough, either as a proportion of autistic kids or just as a raw number.
So to answer, this is Colleen Boyle. To answer your first question, the change in the median age at identification or diagnosis was 4.5 in 2006 and 4 in 2008. The other key piece of information is the fact that a greater percentage of children are identified before the age of 3. So we did see a change over time in the number of children who are actually identified and diagnosed before age 3. And I'm sorry, your second part of your question, can you repeat that?
Yeah, Dr. Frieden has said many children are not receiving services early enough or consistently enough to reach their full potential. I was wondering, how many kids do you think are in that situation?
Well, we don't know for certain in terms of the actual numbers. The data indicate in terms of the age, delayed age identification, that clearly there are many children who are not receiving early identification.
Yes. And I would add, at 4 years old, it's still too late. We need to get this down to 18 months of age to truly have the greatest impact and effect we can have on a child.
Next question, Shirley.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Daniel Dunoon with WebMD. You may ask your question.
Thank you for taking my question. As we see these problems getting higher and higher with each two-year survey, it really does seem that we are in approaching a crisis situation. Why the 2008 numbers? Why aren't we seeing at least a preliminary look at the 2010 numbers, which should be in the country by now?
So we are in
and
the
your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Dr. Colleen Boyle. We are in the field collecting our 2010 data, and we should have those data out by in the next 2 to 3 years. But it takes us a long time. This is very detailed information, and it takes us a while. We actually have to go to multiple sites within the community, medical sites, school sites, and it is a big task.
Next question, please.
Our next question comes from Karen Weintraub with USA Today. You may ask your question.
Hi, thanks. I was wondering if you think that the definitional change that's been proposed in the DSM-5 that would, we think, limit, or one Yale researcher thinks would limit the number of people on the spectrum, how that would affect the count of children with autism spectrum disorders.
So that's an important question, and a question that's of concern to parents. We don't know the full impact of that, but fortunately, the way we collect the data, we'll be able to apply any revision to the DSM and look at that impact over time.
This is Dr. Susan Hyman. One of the things I want to point out is the last definition was made in 1994, and we know a whole lot more now than we knew in 1994. So there's the real possibility that the new definition will actually be better for children and better for families.
And Mark Reuthmeyer, if I can just add in on what Susan's saying, it's imperative that the DSM-5 not exclude anyone on the spectrum, and I believe that's what we'll see.
Okay. Next question, Shirley.
Thank you. And this question comes from Charouise. Anthony, you may ask your question.
Yes, you respond to my question, but I have another one. It's about the statistics. So this is the year you are talking about is 2008, and you compare to 2006. That's correct?
The 23% increase is for 2006 compared to 2008. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when the CDC started the statistics about autism, and since you started, what was the increase of the cases?
So between 2002 and 2008, we have seen a 78% increase in children identified with autism.
Oh. 150 to 1 in 88.
Okay.
Next question, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Shirley Wang with Wall Street Journal. You may ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is about whether you have the figures broken down by exact type of diagnosis, so autism versus PDD-NOS versus Asperger's syndrome, and whether you think that breakdown of information might help also sort of figure out whether this is, better diagnosis, better identification question, and a sort of expanded definition versus, some other factors going on. Do you have that data, and what do you think that would mean if you did have that?
You're asking whether or not we have subtype information.
Exactly.
Are we reporting prevalence by subtype? And no, we're not. The one thing we do by subtype is age at a diagnosis, and that varies considerably from 48 months for children who have autistic disorder to 75 months for children who have Asperger's disorder.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, though, if there has been an increase, if you can tell in the data, if there have been more kids diagnosed with, say, PDD-NOS as compared to autism over time, would that shed some light on, whether there's some kind of an environmental risk factor that's increasing, or if this is more about, kids with sort of different abilities being diagnosed with conditions that maybe previously weren't diagnosed.
So the proportion of children between 2006 and 2008 is similar in those subtypes.
Okay, thank you.
That was Dr. Boyle speaking.
Yes.
Our next question, please, Shirley.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Dana Bunis with Congressional Quarterly. You may ask your question.
Hi, thanks very much. I just had a quick question. The release says estimates 1 in 88 children in the United States has been identified with this. But if you look at the abstract, it makes the point of saying, because the network sites don't make up a nationally representative sample, that these estimates shouldn't be generalized to the United States as a whole. So I'm trying to figure out which is correct. Should we say 1 in 88 in the United States, or is it more accurate to say 1 in 88 among these 14 sites? And then my other question was for Mark Rossmeyer, if he could say what study he was citing in terms of the cost.
Okay. So this is Colleen Boyle. I'll answer the 1 in 88 question. So the 1 in 88 does refer to our 14 communities. They were selected in a competitive fashion. So they are not nationally representative. However, the prevalence from our 14 countries, excuse me, for our 14 communities, our 14 states, really do line up well with other data for the United States. So, for example, there are a number of studies on national survey data that showed very comparable prevalence rates.
So is it you're comfortable saying it is 1 in 88 in the United States?
Again, technically it's 1 in 88 in these 14 communities.
Okay.
Let me add on to Colleen. Because of the great consistency over the years of every year CDC has done the study, I do think it's appropriate to say 1 in 88 for the entire country. The study I was referring to before is a study that Autism Speaks commissioned, working with the World Health Organization as a consultant. It has just come out in the last 24 hours, and it shows the $126 billion annually that is being spent on autism in the United States. I will make the point that that is based on the old now one in 110 children being diagnosed with autism. When we extrapolate in the new data, the new statistics at 1 in 88, I believe it's $137 billion that we're talking about.
Thank you.
Okay. Shirley, we've got time for one or two more questions.
Okay. Our next question comes from Evan Brown with Fox News Radio. You may ask your question.
Hi. Good afternoon. Earlier it was discussed that parents should be taking a closer look at early development to hopefully recognize the signs. How can they recognize the signs, and how early could they begin to notice the signs in a child?
So that's a wonderful question. And parents know their own child best, but if they do have concerns, the important thing is not to wait. It's to act early. And there's a couple critical things that parents can do. They can talk to their doctor about their concerns, and CDC has tools, checklists on our website to really help make that conversation easier. The other thing that parents can do is they can contact their local early intervention program or school system for an evaluation of their child. And remember,
what would a child be doing or how would they be behaving to prompt a parent to say, hey, wait a second, something's not right here? I mean, with a young child, I mean, especially if they're still somewhat infantile, I would think that, you know, how would you determine autistic behavior from just a kid being a kid?
This is Dr. Hyman. I think you're asking excellent questions. There are many, many, many symptoms that we look at for early child development. Children who aren't pointing, who aren't making eye contact with communication, who aren't developing language at the same rate, may have autism, but they may also have other things. So it's really important for parents who have concerns to bring them up and for them to be persistent in their concerns so that appropriate evaluation can take place. And there are many developmental disorders other than autism, and any concern a family has to be taken seriously. The milestones related to things such as early language are on the CDC website. They're on the Academy of Pediatrics website. But don't defer.
I think so. Also, add you can go to autismspeaks.org. The signs at 3, 6, 9, and 12 months are there. A video glossary is there that can show videos of a typically versus an autism-developing infant. And there's also local resources that they're talking about. You can put in your zip code, and it can tell you where you can go locally.
Okay, Shirley, thank you And thanks to everyone for participating in today's briefing. For more information about this study, please visit cdc.gov/autism. And for more information on CDC's tools to help families track their child's development, you can visit cdc.gov/act early. And to learn more about the administration's commitment to combating autism, please visit www.hhs.gov/autism. A transcript of this briefing will be available later this afternoon. And any follow-up questions, please contact our press office at 404-639-3286. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, and this does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. At this time, you may disconnect your lines.